Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. An early Christmas present for us all. Corey, good morning. How are you?
It is. You know, I'm more like Hanukkah. I just keep happening day after day after day. I just keep giving.
You do. You're a very giving man. Giving of your time every Monday morning at 8 o'clock to be with us. And
my rates are reasonable.
Your rates are reasonable. And look, I mean, it's a sacrifice, especially when you have to talk about a football game like that one yesterday that was just totally brutal to watch from the Titans' perspective. Offensively, I mean, look, the numbers are what they are. Derrick Henry, 16 carries, 9 yards. Quarterback got sacked 7 times, got hit 11 times. Just more absolutely terrible offensive football for the Titans. Coming off a week, Corey, where they looked great against Miami, and it was such a dramatic win, and that's a very disappointing drop-off from the offense yesterday.
Well, you know, going into the game, you know, we always, TN Nation, we always have our keys to victory. And one of my keys to victory was to continue to let the kid throw the ball and run the offense through him. Because the Texans have a good run defense. You knew it. Derrick Henry rushed for 1,000 yards over his last 5 games against them. DeMeco Ryans knew that. And the Titans, you know, when people know Derrick Henry's coming this year, they don't have the line to do it anyway. So that all spelled trouble to me. And I said, and also they're giving up 250 yards passing a game. So, to me, the kid just threw for 300 yards on Monday Night Football. Just continue to let him cook. And they completely took the ball out of his hands. I mean, the first drive, he goes 4 for 4 for 77 yards. He's got 2 big hits downfield. And after that, guys, they had – this is my math. And I put it on the Twitter because I know it's not the official stats. 15 designed runs on first down for -1 yard. I mean, that's just stubborn. That's just there was one play where I was watching. They had 9 stacked in the box. 9.
Yeah.
And it was first down. And they ran anyway. And they lost 7 yards. And I'm just like, this is maddening. I mean, this is maddening. You know, that I'm not a genius. I'm not. I mean, anybody can tell you who knows me. But I do know numbers. And those numbers don't work. All right, and you know what the way football is played. You've got to take advantage of what's being presented to you. And when the box is stacked, that means you've got opportunities on the outside. And look, even the kid's good enough or he's not, and he's a rookie, he's going to make mistakes like the one he had yesterday where he could have had Burks for a touchdown. That is going to happen. It is all part of the process. But you just got to be willing to play the game. My gosh.
I hear you, and I'll counter you with, you know, 7 sacks, 11 hits. As of now, I know he's close to historic levels of being pressured. They can't protect yeah. for him, so you just got
did
him
protect
hurt
in the first half, though.
At times yeah, I mean, they did
he
not.
Yeah, he had pockets to throw from early. My point is, Joe, is they got up 13-0 and crawled into a shell.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I don't think Tim Kelly is a good dad. I think first down, you got to be more varied for sure. But overall, you talk about overall. I think one thing that they should have done is probably gone to Spears more, just because maybe his style gives you a chance a little bit, and then the Texans are a little bit less certain of what you're going to do.
He's not the bullseye. Yeah, I mean, I agree. When Derek is out there, there is a bullseye on him, whether it's run or screen, and that's why you would think play action would be there, and it was on the first drive, on first down. That's my only point. Like, it may not work. He may get sacked 8 times instead of 7. I don't know, but I do know this. They weren't going to be able to run the ball against that front.
Corey, what did you make of the Tyrae Tart news coming out over the weekend?
Wow.
Friday, he gets released. He's gone. It's been a weird situation with him all year long, and the timing of that is interesting with 4 games left in the regular season, now 3 after this one against the Texans.
You know, it's really – it is all weird because, you know, for a guy in a contract year who evidently is not happy with the $4-plus million he's making, it's a very bizarre tact to take because you've got 4 games left before this happened. I mean, I would think any agent in the world would tell him, finish the season strong and go get paid. Practice hard, play hard, be a good teammate, be the first one in and the last one out. But let that be the message to the league that that's who you are, and that's going to get you more money than anything. He's only hurt his value. I mean, to me, he'll be lucky to get more than a 1-year deal after this. I believe Monty Rice is still on the market, is he not?
He is.
Okay. When you're a malcontent, word gets out there. And unless you're a superstar, people generally don't want to add malcontents, you know, to their football team. And look, I barely know Tyrae Tart, but I know this. Teams don't cut good players because they're bored, all right? The guy has a lot of ability. He worked really hard to get where he was and to make the money he was making. It's just baffling to me that this is the way he would choose to finish out his tenure here, whether he thinks he's been treated fairly or not. This team gave him an opportunity when no one else did. And I'm not sitting here taking the Titans side. I always want the players to get as much as they possibly can. But the rules are the rules. And the Titans played by the rules. He's not playing for free. Well, he's not playing at all now. And it's just a bizarre, bizarre tact. And, you know, as the Titans are hitting this clearly obvious rebuild situation, you can't have unhappy guys around your team.
Yeah, I do think the difference between those two guys is Monty Rice can't play and Tyrae Tart can. So I think he'll be okay, but I agree with you. I mean, he clearly – and he was effective this year, right, at times.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a really good player.
But he was also clearly not in shape, not in the shape he should have been in. And if Mike Vrabel's willing to say that, then you know then they've got issues, and it's been an ongoing thing. What about – I guess just do you look at that as any sort of – comment on just the whole season, the whole situation, you know, in the locker room, the losing? I mean, obviously negativity can snowball on you. How do you assess that?
Well, I mean, there has been. I mean, you go back to the Jaleel Johnson statements as well. You know, you've got a number of guys who seem to be unhappy. You know, and look, I remember a year or two ago when all the talk was is everybody in the league wanted to come play for Vrabel. When you're winning, everybody wants to come play for you. Everybody was willing to come play for Belichick when they had Brady and they were winning Super Bowls. Nobody's going to New England now, all right? So when you win, everybody wants on board. And when you lose, you find out who the rats are, right? Because they're the first ones off the boat and onto the lifeboat. And so that's kind of part of it. You need to find out who is willing to work. I mean, I go back, remember Jarrell Casey? He was part of some terrible Titan teams, but he wanted to stick it out. He wanted to be here you know, to turn this thing around. And that's what you find out. Who are the guys who want to get things turned around, and who are the guys who want to look for excuses, look for a place to point their finger, and look for a reason to be unhappy. I mean, you know, look, I grew up watching the Cubs. I had plenty of reasons to be unhappy, and I had plenty of fingers to point. But I usually knew their problem. They just weren't good enough.
Corey, last thing for you here. The Jags have lost three in a row. Trevor Lawrence apparently now in concussion protocol.
I cried myself to sleep after that one last night.
Yeah, that was a tough one last night. The Colts have gotten 8-6, and now obviously Houston with the win yesterday, 8-6 as well. So all three teams other than the Titans at 8-6 in the division. How do you think this plays out? Who ends up winning the AFC South in your mind?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, you look at those three teams and what their quarterback situation is, and, you know, Trevor Lawrence should clear-cut be the best one, right? You know, he should be – you say, oh, well, the Jags have got Trevor Lawrence. But he's not playing that great, you know. Suddenly Doug Peterson isn't the QB wizard that he was last year. They're still a good team, but they're playing good teams. And guess what? They're not beating the good teams. Because when you play a first-place schedule, life gets harder. It's one of the things we talked about, you know, after last season when everybody was crowning the Jaguars as the division champions, was that this was going to get harder for them because the schedule is harder. They're lucky they got the Bills at the right time and they beat them, you know, because right now they're 8-6. I'd have to see who everybody plays the last three games. I think the Jags' schedule is the most favorable.
They've got Tampa, Carolina, and the Titans. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's pretty favorable. You would think they'd be at least a 10-win team. But, you know, the Colts have, you know, seized on opportunity, and, you know, they're to be congratulated. They're also to be congratulated in having a quality backup quarterback. You know, not everybody does that, and they did that, and it paid off for them. They got their rookie massacred, and they had a guy to bring in there and play. And they, you know, they've added some good pieces who've proven to be good players for them. And they appear to be better coached for one reason or another than they were a year ago. And Houston's obviously got to get back C.J. Stroud. But, you know, I think about this league, and we always say, you know, how close the teams in the league are. And it's just so true. I mean, go back a week ago, the Jets clobber the Texans. What was it, like 30-6?
Yep.
And the Titans beat the Dolphins. And now this week, the Texans come with a backup quarterback and beat the Titans. And the Dolphins play the Jets and just smoke them without Tyreek Hill. And it just goes to show you that how close all the teams are. And that if you come and you don't have your A game, you don't, you know, you're not sharp that day, you miss opportunities, you're going to lose. I mean, the Titans had a million opportunities to win this game. You know, Roger McCreary has to have that interception at the two. All right, the ball's in his hands. He has got to make that play. Eric Gehrer played a pass perfectly. I don't know if that was late in the fourth quarter or in overtime, but he jumped the route. He cut it off. It went right through his hands. He has got to finish that play. That's the difference between winning and losing. You know, obviously we could talk about the problems in the run game and some of the other things that went on. But if you finish plays that you're in position to make, you win that football game. You got to make extra points. This is two overtime losses in a row after games that you missed extra points. So you've given away points in two losses. So I'm going to sound like Coach Vrabel. Go back to controlling the things you can control and make the plays that you should make, and you're winning a lot more football games.
Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Corey, great stuff as always. Hope you have yourself a Merry Christmas. We will not be talking to you next week.
But freaking unbelievable. Those were pearls.
It was.
I expect that's going to show up in Encyclopedia Britannica.
It will. With your picture. For those of you who are...
Did you ever get that for Christmas?
Yeah.
You know, did you ever have someone show up at your door trying to sell those?
Yes. And there was a lot of the 800 numbers where you could order the encyclopedia.
Imagine if somebody showed up at your door now trying to sell you Google.
Just slam the door.
The same thing.
Just right back in the face. Get out of here, dude. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right. Merry Christmas, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest on Robbie and Rexroad. Some interesting comments from Derrick Henry that have been parsed and discussed following the game yesterday against the Texans. We'll get into those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. Joe, some interesting comments after the game by Titans running back Derrick Henry. We've gone through the numbers for Henry yesterday. It wasn't good. 16 carries, 9 yards. He also had 4 catches for 1 yard in the game. So, obviously, Houston made it a huge point of emphasis to not let him get going and do anything to them. And he was not able to get going. The Titans' offensive line in front of him also atrocious yesterday, both in the run blocking and in the pass blocking part of this. But Derrick Henry talked about being eliminated from the playoffs, 3 games remaining in the regular season, and maybe what that means for him and his future as they move forward here after the game last night. Here's what Derrick Henry had to say in his post-game press conference.
Like today, you had that feeling, you know, when you had hope of kind of slipping in there and then being eliminated, you know, just 3 games left, being my whole career, definitely want to grow strong, which that isn't the case. I'm trying to use more in the last 3 games and leave it all on the field.
So that was Derrick Henry after the game yesterday. A lot of people talking about that clip, and it's been tweeted out by TD and a bunch of people after the game yesterday of Derrick Henry and what this means for him with 3 games remaining and the Titans officially being eliminated from the playoffs. What did you make of what Derrick Henry had to say yesterday in the post-game press conference?
I think I need to clarify that, and maybe it's just that I have old ears. It is very possible. I could barely hear that. Yeah. So I just read the – That was from TD's video, by the way. But this was TD's question was, quote, when you sit in there, take your time getting dressed before you come in here, knowing there are just 2 more home games and you don't know what the future is, do you ever stop and just try to stay in the moment? You know, I know you try to stay in the moment, but do you ever stop and just think like, man, it could be over? And then Derek's response was, quote, yeah, definitely today you had that feeling. We had a hope of slipping in there, being eliminated, no 3 games less. I've been here my whole career. I definitely want to go out strong, which isn't the case. Just trying to give it my all these last 3 games and leave it all on the field, end quote. I hope that my recitation of that was
satisfactory. Yes.
But
recitation. Nice word.
Is that right?
Or yeah.
Reenactment. But I will be honest. I was sitting there. I didn't think a ton of it. So TD tweeted out and said, I don't think he's ever talked about this. I guess I thought that there had been a couple questions here and there about kind of thinking about that. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it just happened in my mind. You know, but apparently some people have taken this as like, oh, so he's confirming he's gone. I just didn't take it that way. He's just confirming that he doesn't know, right? Like, Did you take that as Derrick Henry saying, I am definitely out of here. I'm out of here. See you later.
No, but I think he realizes, along with everybody else looking at the situation, that it's by no means a guarantee that he's back here. And look, we've talked about this from the Titans side of things, and we've kind of focused in on that and whether or not the Titans should bring him back and would he be a good fit to continue forward with Levis and how much does he have left in the tank, what's a fair market value, all those things. And one question that I don't think we've probably asked enough is, does Derrick Henry have a desire to come back here? Like, does Derrick Henry want to be here? Does he want to finish his career here? Or does he look at the situation that they're in right now and say, you know what? It'd be better off for me if I went somewhere else with maybe a better chance to go win. I don't know. I have no idea what Derrick Henry's thinking. So, no, I mean, I didn't take those comments yesterday as anything definitive one way or the other. But, I mean, Derrick Henry's not an idiot. He knows that it's by no means a guarantee that he's going to be back here next year. So I took it more as like he's aware that there is a possibility that it's going to be 3 games here with the Titans, and that could be it.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it goes from there.
Yeah, man, it was a good question by TD, and I think it was an honest answer. And, yeah, of course. Of course he knows. You know, he has to know it's possible both on both sides of it. It's possible the Titans will not end up wanting to have him back, and it's possible he will find something better. To me, his mindset should just be, let's go see what's out there, right? You know, see what's out there, see who may have interest, see if there's a fit, and obviously see what someone's willing to pay at this point for a 30-year-old running back. It's tough out there for a 30-year-old running back. But to me, he's got to be resolved to go find out. And then I would think he'd have an open mind about possibly coming back.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think he'd have an open mind about it. Because I still think if the Titans are interested in bringing him back, I think there's a chance that his best deal could be here, right? I mean, and then you weigh the, you know, what's the financial part of it? What's the Derrick Henry wanting to win? And that's the other thing. Like, it's easy right now to sit here and say, well, the Titans are a long way from winning. They could be. I don't know. But if you have a good offseason in this league, you can get back to being competitive pretty quickly, especially if you've got the quarterback. And we've talked about that. So how does Derrick Henry view that? I don't know. But you know, I just thought that answer yesterday from him was acknowledging that there is some uncertainty moving forward and that he's just going to try to enjoy it while it lasts these last three games here.
Yeah, like let's play it out. Same question, and he's like, no, I'm not – I mean, obviously you can do the – and he has been asked here and there, and mostly his response has been, I'm just thinking about this week, just thinking about – you know. So he sort of got reflective yesterday, but it's not like he's going to say, well, I'll be back next year. So
right.
It's, no, I don't think about that. I'll be back next year. 2-year deal. You know, he doesn't know that. So, it's everybody. I mean, that's along with, I guess, potentially spoiling the day for the Jags in the finale. I mean, that's where a lot of the focus will be in that January 7th game against the Jags.
Yeah.
Is that this could be it for one of the greatest players to wear a Titans uniform.
Yeah, no question. It was really cool to see the photo of him, Eddie George, and Earl Campbell yesterday.
That was very cool.
With them wearing the Columbia blue. It was good.
It was. And at that point, I saw that, and I was like, God, he's about to go for two bills again on the Texans, isn't he?
He did not.
And then he did not. My goodness. Some
that
of this
career average against the Texans took a hit yesterday. Yeah, I think he was averaging approximately 350 yards per game. Slightly exaggerated.
It's still pretty good.
But yeah.
You know, some of this is, by the way, like, got to give a lot of credit to D'Amico Ryans and what they've done there. They've become – there's an example. Now, they've had high draft picks, so it's not like this is totally out of nowhere. But there's an example of one good offseason – you can change a lot. You can go from bad to good in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Lenny on the text line asking if the King retires this offseason. I don't think there's any chance of that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, he's 30. He's still good. I know yesterday, you know, you look at the numbers and it's like he's still good, but, you know, go watch the cut-ups of all the opportunities he had to have any space to breathe. He's still good, and he'll keep playing. He'll be somewhere next year.
We're live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. Coming up next, we'll get into the offensive line and what an atrocious performance it was from them, including something that's becoming more and more concerning by the week. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe's a rough one for the offensive line. It's been a rough season for the offensive line. It was a particularly rough game for the offensive line yesterday, both in the pass blocking and run blocking categories. So let's just go through the numbers. Will Levis was sacked 7 times yesterday. Was hit 11 by the Houston defense. Derrick Henry finishes with 16 carries for 9 yards, which is 0.6 yards per carry. As a team, the Titans have 30 carries for 66 yards, good for 2.2. And that also includes, you know, Levis escaping the pocket and running out of there a few times, 4 carries for 25 yards for him. So I know that you can't take that away, but those are not designed run calls there. Right. If you take those away, it's even worse for the Titans yesterday, which is not good. So, having said all that, you have a total inability to run the football yesterday and a total inability to protect your quarterback when you drop back to pass. Not a very good combination. We've talked about the left tackle spot, Jalen Duncan. It was rough yesterday. The Titans got overwhelmed up front. Peter Skoronski, I thought, was bad yesterday. And obviously, as somebody you drafted number 11 overall, to play guard, as Jared Stillman likes to
guard.
He was bad And, you know, we discussed the Trevor Maddich comments a week ago of him not making the progress that Maddich would have liked to have seen from him at this point. And then yesterday, I mean, you got four games left in the regular season, and he just looked like he was overwhelmed constantly. Not something you want to see yesterday from your number 11 overall pick.
No, he had a rough day. He and Jalen Duncan had a rough day. The whole offensive line pretty much had a rough day. You know, we need more guard awareness, first of all. Guards are important.
They are.
Okay? They don't get paid as much as tackles, but they're very important. And so that's why, even though I think this year you could definitely make a case to try to look at Skoronski at left tackle, if they are committed to they believe it's what he is, that's what most people thought he was coming out of the draft, that's fine. Draft him where they drafted him, that's fine. He has to be great. I mean, he has to be great, not good, not fine, not solid, not your best offensive lineman of a group of five, most of which shouldn't be in the NFL, but he's got to be great. And yesterday was sobering in that regard. It's one day. He's had better days, but that was rough, and that led the way for just an awful performance. I will read this from Josh DeBoe from AP that I did in the 6 o'clock hour because it really is amazing. So 20 touches in a game, fewest yards from scrimmage, with 20 touches in a game since 1948. Derrick Henry, 10 yards, 20 touches. Floyd Little, 21 yards, 20 touches against the Falcons. I think he was with the Browns. That was November 26, 1972. Eddie Price, who did he play for? I don't know. But he had 15 yards on 20 touches against the New York Yanks on November 4th, 1951. That's how atrocious yesterday's blocking was, first and foremost.
Were you watching that game?
Yeah, it was kind of on in the black and white. They were hitting the zenith and the, but I don't remember it too
that's
much.
Good.
I pooped my pants.
Thank you.
Just like the Titans. Yay! Let's bring it right back around.
No, it really is an incredible stat. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, even the passing numbers for Derrick Henry is kind of amazing. 4 catches for 1 yard. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Yesterday. So
I mean, anywhere he was on the field.
Just
the Texans just sent everybody there. And there were a couple plays where I think he could have broken a tackle, and it's like, gosh, he used to break that tackle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for the most part, there was just no chance. He was – like, he – when he was on the field and he got the ball, there was no chance. So, I think at some point in that game yesterday, because Tim Kelly does deserve some criticism for yesterday – You do something else.
Yeah, no question. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, two things. Number one, the Titans fans, they're like, we couldn't even beat the Texans. We don't want to win these football games. Who wants to win and end up at 500? If you're a good fan, you see the big picture. It's not even a big picture at this point. It's like the next thing for us is to get a good draft pick. It's a bad season. Go get a good draft pick so you could fix this terrible offensive line. And that's my point number two, dude. Like, if I was already on the fired Vrabel train, that pushed it over yesterday because I don't care about body language. That's stupid. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is that we have a quarterback that feels like a real quarterback for the first time in, like, I don't know, 17 years. So I don't count Kerry Collins or Jake Locker as real quarterbacks for our franchise. You know, like, so we get a real one who has, like, kind of an elite special trait, and you're going to get him killed in a wash game. Like, that's the whole – you should have two tight ends out there every play. If you're at sack number two, two tight ends every play. Get the old Wycheck, rest in peace, Aaron Kinney offense, and just run it, dude. That's it. Like, that should be the whole offensive game for a game that does not matter. And that's why I think Vrabel should now, like, it should really be a hot seat because you got that guy hurt. And we all sat there for those 2 minutes or whatever that commercial was and them saying, we're not going to show a replay. Like, oh, my God, he got this guy hurt. So that's I'm ticked off this morning because he got hurt, man. Everything else is just nonsense, whatever. We're a sorry team. But you got that guy hurt, and you deserve to be fired for it.
Thanks for the call, Adam. I mean,
so rooting for the Titans to lose, huh? That's an interesting comment on fandom.
I think they're going to take care of that plenty by themselves as they move forward here.
Yeah,
the Levis part of it, I mean, it does feel like in some ways they dodged a bullet, though, because to Adam's point, I mean, it looked rough.
Awful.
When he got rolled up on.
I think Joe Milton and Levis both had a play like that this year.
Yeah.
And both lived to tell.
Yeah, they did.
About it.
And, you know, Levis, I mean, you tell me, you saw him in the post-game press conference. He did his media availability. He said basically that it felt a lot scarier than it actually ended up being. So that's good news, but apparently limping out of there, according to your astute observations after the game.
Yeah, I didn't see him coming in. So some of the folks who were in there when he came in said he did a good job of faking it coming in. I didn't see that. I had to run across from the locker room into the interview room. He was already talking, but definitely a pronounced limp when he left. So as he said, first of all, he thinks he's all right. He thought it was bad at first. And so he thinks he's all right, but they're gonna find out more. If I'm the Titans, if at any point for the season ends, it's 100% no issues at all, okay. Anything short of that, I'm sitting him down.
You're shutting him down.
I'm shutting him down.
You want the Titans to shut him down these last three games.
Yeah, and look, I understand. You know, the thing is, they're going to try to win. Like, the best fanking strategy right now is to start Malik Willis the rest of the way. But they're going to try to win, so it's probably going to be Tannehill. It's probably going to be Tannehill this week against Seattle. And Tannehill could mess around and win some games for you, you know. But I would not mess around with Levis. He is the most precious commodity in the organization.
I view this, like, if he's 100%, which he's not going to be this week, but if he's 100% at the end of the year, I'd play him because I do think there's value in playing him, which we saw Monday night against Miami. Now, having said that, he's getting hit a lot, and it's kind of amazing that he's not been hurt before this. And some of that's his own doing with taking off and running and some of the hits that he's taken there. We've talked about that. But it looked bad. And if he – certainly this week, if he can't protect himself to full capacity and he doesn't have full mobility, like, you can't put him out there if you're the Titans. Even if he's, you know, pushing for it and he wants to play and play on, you know, one leg as he's hobbling around, like, you got to be smart and sit him down if you're the Titans this week. So I'm cool with playing him if he gets to a point in these next 3 weeks – where he's 100% and he can move and protect himself. But if he can't do any of those things, then it would be malpractice to throw him out there if you're Vrabel and the Titans.
Right. You know, and look, it is different now. Adam had the perspective that we talked about earlier in the show. Like, it's felt like they, you know, they're out of it for a long time. But now they actually are.
Right.
They win the game yesterday. They're 6-8, and they're, you know, they're holding on to thin but still some hope of hanging in there. They're only a game behind the Texans. They have another game against the Texans. You know, there's a lot of stuff that would have to happen, but there's still some hope for them in the locker room. And that's what they're talking about. They're trying to hold on to anything they can hold on to. Now that's over. So I think that also has to shift the decisions from on high a little bit now that it's mathematically over and that now that you've clinched last place, or at least a share of last place. Congratulations.
More Tannehill on Sunday? A little Tannehill farewell tour out there?
I think so. I think Tannehill Sunday will be the starter. And I think maybe last two games here, Tannehill-Henry. Could be Tannehill-Henry last couple times.
Which be an interesting crowd out there on Sunday against the Seahawks. Christmas weekend. You're eliminated from the playoffs. Levis might not be playing. I haven't looked at the weather to see what that's going to look like, but it could be interesting.
Yeah, out there on- it could be. Like, still, yeah, because still a pretty good crowd is. I mean, you know, more empty gaps than, you know, earlier in the season, but still a good crowd and a big day.
Got
Billy White
Oilers
shoes.
Jerseys and Levis is playing. Yeah.
Well, they did do a great job, by the way, with the moment of silence and the tribute to Frank Wycheck. I thought that was really nice.
Yep.
They had the Billy White shoes. The Billy White shoes Johnson halftime program was really cool. It was like a lot about its touchdown dances, like Randy Moss and Icky Woods and some of these guys with some video trivia. It was really cool, you know? So it was a nice day. You have to be able to compartmentalize that and say, good day, franchise, you know, honoring legends and obviously sad that you have to have a tribute to Frank Wycheck, but they did all those things well. And then the team did not follow through.
They did not follow through. I am disappointed that Titans legend Randy Moss – was not there in person and just offered the video tribute.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have been time to induct him in the Ring of Honor for the franchise as well.
He'll have his day.
He will. We'll have more. Our final thoughts on the Titans and the Texans coming up next. A lot of your thoughts to get to as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Got some tickets to give away to see the Transperfect Music City Bowl as Auburn takes on Maryland at Nissan Stadium coming up this Saturday, or excuse me, next Saturday, December the 30th. Going ahead in time here. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl as Auburn takes on Maryland at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, December 30th.
Should be a good one. Well, Hugh Freeze, baby.
Oh, yeah. Hugh Freeze, I saw a clip of him apparently not admitting that he has not handled the transfer portal very well down there in Auburn, which really? Auburn fans are going nuts about.
Do you know who has the number 12 ranked transfer portal class in the country?
Vanderbilt?
That would be the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yeah. Got a quarterback commit.
They do. And number one in the country is Ole Miss.
Yeah.
They're which is low up. Well. Tyler Barron.
Yeah.
Interesting. Really interesting dynamic.
I think Juice Wells going there too. South Carolina?
Yeah. So. I mean, they're Lane complains, but Lane's out there paying, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get into this. Actually, I'd like to get into this week, but like the really interesting dynamic of you're good at a place, you're not quite good enough to go to the NFL, but a place not as good as your place is willing to pay you more to come there. So, Tyler Barron, Ole Miss. Danico Slaughter, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Whoopig.
Yeah. And, you know, Vols might be all right without Slaughter. I mean, they need to get better in the back end. Barron's tough, man.
Yeah.
That's a tough loss.
They did get the number one tight end in the country, apparently.
Yeah, the Notre Dame tight end is a very good pickup for the Vols, yes.
So we'll get more
into
that.
Portal season.
As the week goes on here. Portal season in college football. It's very fun. Joe, your final thoughts on what we saw yesterday between the Titans and the Texans. It was a whole lot of bad. The Titans come out their first drive. They score a touchdown. And other than that, nothing going on offensively. They have, what, 204 yards of net yards offensively yesterday in an NFL football game?
Yep.
And not very good.
83. So the 121 net yards in, like, the last 65 minutes of football. So terrible. More than a game. The second half woes continue. That's a carryover from Todd Downing to Tim Kelly. Just an atrocious day. And, look, it's the offensive line, first, second, and half a third for me. Okay? But – next, I go to Kelly. Tim Kelly, like, you gotta mix it up more than he did. You have to just either go to Spears. I think, like, how much short passing did they do yesterday? And Vrabel referred to this after the game, but he talked about, like, you got to get open quickly. Look, Stingley, those guys, Nelson, they're good.
Yep.
But just so rarely, take the screens and swings away from it. How many just ball out quickly passing plays that the Titans have?
Not a lot.
That's where a guy like, sorry to bring him up because this is the answer to all the Titans' woes, but like Kyle Phillips, who was hurt and was inactive, he's had a hammy. Like a guy like that should help you, but like someone.
It'll be a big factor next year for him, I think.
Well, who knows? You don't know he won't be. But I mean, like somebody's, like, you got to be able to get the ball out quickly and go short passing, intermediate passing in place of your run game when your run game is that just destroyed.
Yeah.
They beat you up front badly, but also they had bodies in there too. They had the numbers. If they got the numbers to that extent, to me, there's got to be something else you can do out there to find space. And they just didn't. It was an atrocious performance. I want to read this comment on my column at The Athletic from Andrew G.
Okay.
I think this, for the people of Houston, I think this is what a lot of them feel. Quote, karma at its finest. The Adams family deserves every bit of it. Bud was a tightwad, threatened to move the team in the late 80s lest the country paid to renovate the dome, which they did. A few years later, he held the city hostage and demanded a new stadium. They told him to kick rocks, took the team to Nashville, and all the city's football history with it. His daughter's just as bad as he is, just as spiteful, sending a cease and desist letter to the University of Houston because they dared try to wear Oilers colors, claiming franchise legends as their own despite them never having played in Nashville and now wearing the Oilers uniforms against the Texans. This whole thing is shameful. Shame on the NFL. I hope the Titans never win another game. Losers. End quote. I think Andrew G. just summed it up for what the city of Houston is doing at the expense of the Titans organization.
Wah.
Yeah.
A lot of whining going on.
But, yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's how they feel about the Adams family.
Sure.
And, you know, again, I'm glad anybody uses the Oilers uniforms.
They look
I'm
great.
Glad we get to see them. J.J. Watt's wrong when he tweets it. Like, they get to have the – he's out of Houston anyway, you know?
Yeah, he said
we. What do you mean
too?
We? You're out of there, man. But this was one of those, if you were going to wear the Oilers uniforms for this game, there's a lot of pressure on team to follow through.
Yes.
You know? And they knew it. I mean, we've known all year this was going to happen, that they were going to do this. So then when you lose that game in the way they lost it, yeah.
So now I think they should lean into it even more, though. Just get some white ones ready to go and then 2 weeks
do it,
head down
do it
there.
2 weeks? Yeah, are they allowed to do that?
I don't think so. God. But I'd appeal the league.
You guys sure? Just do
We'd
it.
We'd love to. Just do it anyway.
And then go get beat.
Take the fine.
And then go get beat 34-10, which is what's going to happen in that game with CJ Stroud playing.
That's fine. I mean, one positive development yesterday for the Titans, Joe, that we've not talked a ton about. Burks, 3 catches, 62 yards on 3 targets. 3 targets, 3 catches, his best game in a long time for the Titans yesterday.
You can see. I mean, you can see that he has talent. He has talent. We can all agree he has some talent. And obviously it would have been.
Are you willing to say it was an A.J. Brown type performance for Treylon Burks yesterday?
I am not. But he, you know what it could have been if Levis sees him on the play where he threw the pick to Hopkins. That was a – and that, you know, you make that play, you probably are able to hold on and win the game, you know?
Yep.
But you didn't, so that's what happened. But, no, it was encouraging. We talked earlier on the positives, Autry, Alshire, some guys who were gutting it out.
They're playing hard.
I mean, Molden is playing well. You got a pick six. Hooker's playing well. McCreary's playing well.
They're trying hard.
They are. They are tryhards. Robert asked, why was there a Randy Moss tribute? Why would they have him? He was here for 1 year. It's not about the – again, they had Icky Woods. Yeah. It wasn't a Titans. It was guys talking about Billy White Shoe Johnson inspiring them in the end zone celebration, right, all that stuff. So that's what it was.
So I'll ask you the same question I asked Corey Curtis earlier. Who wins the AFC South? Got 3 teams at 8-6. Jags have lost 3 in a row, and now apparently Trevor Lawrence is in concussion protocol, so it could be – C.J. Beathard starting this week for the Jags as they take on Tampa Bay. Houston at 8-6 and Indy at 8-6 as well. Who do you think wins the AFC South?
I'm going to go with the Colts. They have the Texans at home in the finale.
Yeah.
And I just don't believe in the Jags anymore. The Jags, if I didn't believe in the Jags last night, I'd be leading. I'd be back in first and pace game pick them, but they screwed me over. They got smoked, and I think the Ravens are the best team in the AFC. And I think Lamar Jackson – like, his numbers weren't great last night. If you watch that game,
yep,
he's infuriating to play against. He should be in the MVP discussion. Put Lamar Jackson in MVP discussion. But I think the Colts are going to win it. They're going to have the Texans at home at the end, and they got a little magic thing going on with them right now.
They might. I mean, they've got the Texans at home at the end. The Colts also have the mighty Atlanta Falcons on the road this week. And then the Raiders at home New Year's Eve.
So I think they're going to win those two.
It's a favorable schedule that they have. The Jags have Tampa Bay, Carolina, and the Titans. But again, Trevor Lawrence in concussion protocol this week against Tampa. And I just watched Baker Mayfield look like Tom Brady yesterday. So
also, don't sleep on those Titans.
Well, there is that.
In the finale.
There are the Titans that the Texans and the Jags have to deal with. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We will be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Appreciate everybody weighing in on the program here today. Jason, Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton on with the podcast.